please use the mic if possible? Thank you.
Mr. Segovia, Larry Sequist, could you tell us a little bit about how the La Gente, how did the people themselves adapt to using the computer systems? What were the systems did you have in the community? About that interface between these systems and the people themselves.
The communities have the NGOs that are working in the area are the ones that have been provided by AAD through CARE with the computer and the equipment to do the work. So there are people that is being trained in the technology, you know, in the actual technology, GPS readings, and in the use of geographic information. So those, the people at the local level, I have pictures that if you want to see them, participating in the process of doing the agricultural study analysis, land use, for the land use plan. And there is a big component of the CARE cooperative agreement is to provide this technical assistance and institutional strength at the local level. So the computers are not big computers, standard computers, you know. The technology that we use is a low-cost technology. The software that we use is a low-cost software, you know. So it's not difficult, you know, to learn the technology, to show people how to use it for their future. So the cost of the software for this, that we are using is below $500.
Of course.
One of the big obstacles that we are still facing is the information sharing at the local level, you know, from top to bottom. So that's an important component of our intervention. Of course, information is being shared. We, as AAD, have a website, and then any public information that we have available, we put it right on the internet, even if sometimes the government doesn't want to show it, so we do put it on our internet website. So we are breaking that barriers, and it's not a difficult task. And I was gonna give the title of this presentation 2020 instead of resolving second generation. Why 20? 20 minutes to present a 20-year problem. So that was the title I was going to give to this presentation, 2020. 20 minutes is not enough to show the problems or the potential problem for at least a 20-year problem. We are preparing here the future not for the people that is currently preparing or receiving the title, but for the children. This is not for them. This is for the future generation. So we need to prepare that role for the next 20 years, at least. It might take longer, but at least that's the target.
Another question? Please. Sir, could you please use the microphone, if possible? Thank you.
Give us some information about the beneficiaries, average family size, the average age, how many are women, how many are heads of household, average land holding, what size property is typical that we're going to get, how many of them are former military, how many are former?
Okay, the average family size is 6, around 30% of the properties are headed by a wife, by a woman. The number of beneficiaries by political affiliation, I think is, I think more than 18,000 are FMLN guerrilleros, guerrilla movements, and the remaining 10,000, are from armed forces. The size of the property depends on the quality of the soil, because there is the program contemplates providing a piece of land that is enough for the people to have a living, to make a living out of it. So The average size of a property is four manzanas or 2.8 hectares. That's the average size. Depending on the soil quality, it may go up. Usually it's up rather than below four manzanas or 2.8 hectares. I think those were your questions, though. Subsisting crops is what they are doing now. Corn, sorghum, beans, but since it is those crops, with those crops it's not enough for them to make a living, to make an income enough to provide education and health to their families. So part of the idea of this is to move them to off-farm, employment. That is that while they are growing their corn or beans, they may be doing something else, free time. They don't have to necessarily be at the plantation. They have their crops, so that's another part of providing them with incentives, to move away from this kind of crops, subsistence crops.
Yes, in the French embassy. I'd like to know how was the decision taken to use the GIS? I'd like to know how was it decided to use the GIS technology?
Well, the mission decided to use this technology in the first round, if you will, because there was a need to monitor the impact of our program at the local level. Then when the land transfer program arrived after the signing of the peace accord in 1992, we saw a good use, given the complexity and the size and the relationship of all the factors that need to be taken into account, we saw the need to use the technology to see the relationships, among the factors. Like, if you wanna move these people from growing corn, beans, to a high crop value, for instance, to take it to the international markets, the Central American countries. So we needed to know what kind of infrastructure was in the area. If this high crop value needed a road, so which is the best way to build a road, see all these relationships around a specific concern. So the mission decided that it was a tool for doing that kind of spatial analysis.
Did you get any specific help from local or national authorities, or just work with the NGOs during the program?
Did you get any help from other national?
Oh, no. This is not an AAD standalone process. I may say that we have take the lead in the process. We have discussed this with the government of El Salvador, and their institutions are fully involved, their main institution, talking about the National Geographic Institute, which is the entity within the government of preparing all cartographic materials, and we are asking them to move from the paper maps to the digitized maps. We have the Ministry of Agriculture, the Ministry of Environment, and the Ministry of Health has already purchased the software to start using for showing where their health clinics and hospitals are, and manage their statistics, their data. And the last event is a coordination activity with the United Nations to implement a geographic information system to monitor the assistance that will be provided by the international communities as a result of the Hurricane Mitch. So we are taking advantage of all these technologies that are available to put it for the public use, which is an important element of what we are doing down there in San Salvador.
Chris Simpson, American University. One of the frequent problems with land reform programs is debt, and what is to be done with the debt that the farmers have incurred. And this seems to be particularly true with farmers who depend on maize and beans in Central America. So the first question is what about the existing structure of debt that these farmers have taken on prior to the institution of the land reform? What becomes of those debts? And the second is it in the process of this land reform, what steps are taken to prevent simply creating a new form of debt peonage, for lack of a better term, through which the subsistence farmers have their land taken away from them again?
The debt issue has been resolved because the government has forgiven the debt for all these people. The government gave a 30,000 colones certificate to purchase their piece of land, and whatever amount of debt was still outstanding, it was forgiven by the government. USAID provided, the government provided more than 100 million colones to, or $12 million to pay the debt. So these former beneficiaries don't have any debt outstanding, has been paid. And there are other debts that they might be burdened, that is for a house, you know, but those kind of debts, we're making sure that they have enough income to pay. Because if we continue implementing a no-payment culture, we will never be out of the problem. So even if they are poor people, they should be paying even their taxes. And this is another use of this technology, because parceling out all these properties will give to the local municipalities to improve their cadastral information and collect taxes.
Yes, yes.
You know, but these people have been, over the past 30, 40 years, paying no taxes on property. So
I understand what you're saying about the past debts. The question is, as you say, this is a 20-year program. Mm-hmm. Over the course of the next 20 years, mm-hmm. what steps are you taking, or is the program taking, rather, to, if it is the case previously that subsistence farmers have not been able to sustain themselves without taking on debt by growing maize and beans and so on, and now they are again growing maize and beans and so on, what is to prevent a reproduction of the previous situation?
Again, I mentioned that part of the process is to make a land use plan to move people away from agricultural activities off farm, like micro enterprise, you know, have a little store to sell other things, you know, rather than be selling corn or beans. So that's part of the long-term program. We have a microfinance activity that is working together with this land program to move these people away from agricultural activities to other types of things. And even remittances from people from the office. 1 million Salvadorians living here. That's a more macro level problem, you know, because the remittances are even over the income that we get from selling coffee, you know. So that's a more bigger problem. But the program contemplates providing whatever economic incentives to these people to move away from the agricultural issues and set up the foundation for moving away from a no payment culture, which is a big problem, not only in El Salvador, but throughout.
Thank you. Actually, we need to move on to